The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to First Take. We're coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. We've got a jam-packed second hour in store, including whether Antonio Brown could mean a Super Bowl or a super flop for Tom Brady's Bucks. Plus, week 7 is over, so which are the best teams in the NFL right now? You know what that means. It's time for another Stephen's A-List. But first, the NBA is eyeing a December 22nd start for a 72 regular game season, and that isn't going over well with some players. Danny Green gave his thoughts on the Ringer's NBA show, saying this, quote, "Most guys, if we start in December, are like, I'm not going to be there. It's not like we have a bunch of young guys and rookies. Bron has been in the finals 10 years out of his 17 years. To have that quick of a restart, I wouldn't expect him to be there. I wouldn't expect to see him for the first month of the season." Okay, Stephen A., so when should the NBA season start?
Ideally for me, I would prefer after the new year, because to start right before the holidays, after the year that we have had, certainly you can understand where the players are coming from in terms of not wanting to start December 22nd. That would mean 3 days removed from Christmas. Obviously, some of you have road games. You're going to be away from your family. And even though this is something that's really traditional, because you're usually playing, the season usually starts max in late October and what have you, the bottom line is, because of the coronavirus pandemic and the sacrifices at least 22 teams were called upon to make for this summer and what have you, to then turn around after the season ended in October and to ask them to come and start right before Christmas, that is a tough ask. But let me say the flip side to all of this. First of all, Danny Green, let's understand, you did have 4 months off. Let's put that in its proper perspective. There were 4 months that you had off. That's number one. Number two, This isn't just about the NBA. This is about the networks. According to the proposal, according to my sources, Max is going to be a 70, and I'm sure Brian Windhorst and Woj and all of them reported this, it's going to be a 72-game season, not 82 games.
They
want that local TV money. It would start December 22nd, and the reason that they're doing it is because we, meaning ESPN, TNT, ABC, we suffered tremendously as a network. Because of the NFL games, you don't want to go into the NFL season. And the reason why you want to start before Christmas is because you don't want to interfere with the Olympics either. So the combination of the Olympics, the combination of the NFL season is incentive enough to say, okay, let's start this December 22nd. Now the players, Danny Green, I hope you're listening. You know, you can get what you want. You can start the games in December. I'm sorry, in January. You know what that condition is? Forfeit $600 million. That's what I'm told. If you want to sit up there and start almost a month later, you're costing yourself $600 million. Because with all the other money that's already been lost, with a new collective bargaining agreement certainly to be negotiated, now you're talking about the specter of losing out on an additional $600 million if you want to start after the new year.
Because you're going to lose games.
That's right.
Why, though? Because can't you make them back up after?
They're saying no because of what I just told you. They don't want to touch in the Olympics, and they don't want to touch into the NFL preseason.
It's not
because
ideal for
shown
the networks.
You're going to lose money.
Here's the thing. Yes. The pandemic hasn't been ideal for anyone.
Right.
So there have to be compromises made
all
over the place.
There has to be compromises.
And you know who's made the biggest compromises? The NBA players. And I know that basketball, in a way, is easier to organize than baseball or football in that way, because there aren't so many participants, right? So you can put it in a bubble. And also, they were almost done with their season. So they got to get all the local TV revenue by doing this extra 7 or 8 games, then going in the bubble, crown a champion, the whole thing, 0 positive tests. It's like a great success story. That took compromise everywhere, especially for the players. I understand why NBA players would be like, hold on. We just finished a grueling season where we were separated from our families for months at a time, right? And put in a bubble. The other leagues weren't willing to do that. We did that. and crowned the champion and showed everyone how it was done, the whole thing, and now you want us to turn around 6 weeks later and start a new season? It's tough, but you know what? It's the cost of doing business. You know, not like it still beats digging ditches for a living, and it's the cost of doing business. Stephen A., Molly, we work on Thanksgiving on this show. We work on Christmas. We work on New Year's this year. We're going to work on all those days, right?
I don't know about me, but
that's
go ahead.
That's the cost of doing.
I don't know about me.
That's the, well, listen, Danny Green.
I don't know about me. I'm going to take a New Year's Eve off.
That's the cost of doing business, you know, in success. And they're going to have to, the players, I think, it is in their best interest, not only of the league, but also of the players, to do something that's going to be a little extra uncomfortable this year. I get why they wouldn't want to do it. But if, in fact, that network TV money is on the line, I understand the argument for them to do it. And I would, you know, it's up to them. But it would seem to me that everyone's going to have to compromise.
Let me say this. I'm not going to just talk about the sacrifice the players made. Everybody's made a sacrifice. The networks have made sacrifices. The league has made sacrifices. The commissioner, Chris Paul, the president of the Players Association, Michelle Robbins, executive director of the Players Association, the coaches who weren't even allowed. When the players were allowed to bring family members and stuff like that, the coaches were the last of the party to be granted those perks, per se, which is what Coach Malone in Denver complained about. So there's been sacrifices on everybody's part. At the end of the day, Max, you're absolutely right. Fellas, this is about business. Stop acting like you don't know NBA players. You know good and damn well what's going on here. The league is trying to make sure it doesn't lose even more money. The networks themselves are trying to make sure they don't lose even more money. And you, as a result, which is why you agreed to come back and play after the pandemic, was to ensure that you don't lose even more money. That is what this comes down to.
Would you blame LeBron if he didn't want to play the first month like Danny Green says?
I wouldn't blame LeBron either. But LeBron, let's understand LeBron's a special circumstance.
Yep.
Because LeBron is constantly, that burden is constantly thrusted upon his shoulders. He's in his 17th year. Yeah. He's been to 10 NBA finals. He doesn't miss games usually. I mean, he does.
You're missing one other piece, though, that we haven't mentioned at all. They're at the forefront of the social justice movement. They're at the forefront now of voter registration in urban communities. They have a lot on their shoulders, these NBA players, beyond what any other sports league has right now. In addition to just being in a bubble in Disney World.
Can I give you my answer to that?
Yeah.
So what? So what? Let me put the camera on me. Take away those damn highlights. I'm going to say it again. So what? You can walk and chew gum at the same time. Just because you're going to play basketball games, just because you got to travel to do your job in which you get paid for, does not strip you of the ability to have a conscience, be socially conscientious, and to engage in whatever activities that you need to do.
And there's another level. Go ahead.
Let me address that first
point. I know there's levels to it.
There's a lot on NBA players' plates.
Right? No kidding.
A lot. And I can understand if they're emotionally and mentally exhausted. When I say that's the cost of doing business, they are in leadership positions. They took those positions actively. They get credit for that from many, including we here on this show.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of working people have to do all kinds of uncomfortable things. Forget about just people on the front lines during the pandemic. And while they are athletes and we think of them differently and they don't have to, you know, work with a jackhammer or whatever, things are sometimes tougher than other times. And this is one of those times, including for NBA players, I think.
I think the other piece that I was just going to say, too, is if potentially we're going to have the second wave of coronavirus and where they would potentially play this game, this would allow them more time to kind of figure things out and see what's going to happen if we are going to have a spike and protect the players. And I think there's more of an appetite after the new year because we're going to be in the thick of it with NFL heading towards the playoffs.
Here's my response. No one should be telling them to shut up and dribble or shut up and play. I'm not doing that. I'm saying do it all. These are tough times, and you have to do more than you are accustomed to doing. You have to do more. The challenges that you're going to face are not going to be ordinary. A matter of fact, they're going to be extraordinary. One of the things we talked about when LeBron James and the Lakers won the championship, we talked about whether we actually had a discussion, Max, as to whether or not this might be his greatest title ever, because the obstacles in which he had to overcome en route to that championship may have been some of the greatest ever. We understand So many of us, millions upon millions of people, have to face challenges now that they never had to face before. All I'm saying is, accept that.
Well, I'll say one thing about that. You and I are discussing what we think they should do.
Right.
But I would say, to Molly's point about the NBA players and what they and how they were able to pull this off, the level of cooperation and sacrifice, all those things, including leading on social justice, just because I think they should do it, I do think that they have, I mean, of course, it's up to them what they do. Yeah. But from just kind of a moral position, they have earned the right to say, you know what? No, we're not going to do that.
But,
even if we're leaving, but we're not. We want to wait
fine.
A little bit.
That's fine. No disagreement. But then you have to acknowledge, as a grown-up, that a business has a right to say, we totally respect your decision.
Yeah, but it's me messed up.
But we're not paying you.
We're paying
you the same. Yeah. We have a right to do that.
So is this December deadline, is this really going to happen, the restart?
I think it is. All right. I think it is. Okay. I think it's very, very real that it's going to happen because you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars being lost if it doesn't happen.
Baseball players did this already. They wanted 82 games. They couldn't figure out a compromise, bubble, whatever. Eventually, the league just said, nope, we're going to unilaterally say 60 games and prorate the salaries. And the players lost the money, but that was their choice. And the NBA players, if anyone, has a right to have the fans with them if they make a choice to postpone
this
NBA players.
But the problem is the players, and I'm not saying most of the players, all of them, you do have a few that talk as if we shouldn't have to work, but we should still get paid. That's not practical. In any business, we have to understand. I understand, Molly. I'm sitting here doing First Take with you and Max. We number one in the mornings. Well, guess what? If I don't show up, I don't expect to get paid. I don't expect to sit there. Oh, I'm not going to show up because, you know what, not just the coronavirus, but I got these social justice issues that are on my mind. And to me, that's where my focus lies. Oh, but by the way, can I still get my check? It don't work that way. And all I'm saying is everybody has to understand that. That is reality.
Who are these players who want to get paid the same and
I'm
don't?
Just saying, oh, but talk to them. You know a few of them. Talk to them. Hey, what's the matter? They make enough money. I mean, look at all the money we generated for them. How come we can't still get paid?
They're millionaires. It's just so much on their shoulders. These are such strange times. We're in the middle of a pandemic and everything with the election. It's a lot. But I hear you.
You think
it's a business at the end of the
can
day.
Can I say this to you? Can I ask a fair question?
Yeah.
You actually think it's more on their shoulders than it is on the common Joe out here that if they don't go to work, they can't pay their bills?
I think it's a lot on everybody.
I know that. That's not what I asked.
Everybody.
That's not what I asked, though.
Yeah.
I know that. It's a lot on everybody. Nobody's absolved. I'm asking you, do you think it's more on their shoulders?
Of course not, where people don't know how they're going to put food in their mouth. Yes, of course. I think millionaires also have problems as well.
People experience their lives, you know, relative to their surroundings. So to Danny Green or an NBA player, of course they would not trade places with most people who are actually working harder and for much less reward. But it's still like, wait a minute, this is what we're used to, and now we're asked to do all this extra stuff and then go back back at it again. And
I'm saying they have a point, but so does everybody else. Sure. Everybody's being asked to do extra.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
everybody.
And to your point, as far as the average Joe, they also have a lot of average Joes pulling on them as well.
Yes.
Yes, a lot of people
to
support.
That's
beyond
true.
Other millionaires who came from wealth.
A lot of us would know about that.
All right.
And guess what? We still got to deal with it.
Yeah.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Tom Brady might have the best receiving core in football, and now he adds Antonio Brown. The Bucs signed him to a one-year deal, AB joining Gronk and LeSean McCoy as weapons for Tampa. Tom, on that note, we welcome in our Jeff Saturday. Where is he? He's coming. There he is. We look like we're ready to go to prom, Jeff. How are we doing? Where's my corsage? In the purple. I like it.
Oh, we do.
Right?
We match up.
I know. We're trying.
Yes.
I'll get to you in just a second, though. Always good to see you. Max, what does AB mean for the Bucs now? Are we talking Super Bowl here?
Yeah, we might be. I mean, it's an already dynamic receiving core. Brady has looked very good, better as the season has worn on. The offensive line has looked better as the season has worn on. The defense is clearly an upper third defense, at least. And now you're going to add a guy who, when last seen on a football field, was among the greatest who ever did it. And even when he just kind of walked into the Patriots team last year, lasted that one game, but in that one game caught four passes, three first downs, and a touchdown. You're going to add that guy to Godwin and Evans? And all those, and all, whoever's healthy, and all the tight ends, including Gronk? It's a problem. I do think that an addition of a receiver as dynamic as AB can put a team who I thought, that's a 10-win team, they can win a playoff game, into the conversation, certainly, of they might be the favorites in the NFC.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to the Super Bowl. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to the Super Bowl. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to the Super Bowl. That's what the hell AB means. Now, do they need him per se? Listen, they've got an embarrassment of riches already. Chris Godwin's back. Mike Evans is there. Gronk is playing like Gronk over the last couple of games. You got to believe you. Is O.J. Howard out for the season? I don't think he is. I mean, listen, look, when you look at them with Fournette at your running back spot, with Ronald Jones as well, the reality of the situation is you add Antonio Brown to the mix. He's better than all of them. He's better than all of them.
And they're damn
good. And then you got Brady flat out balling. And let me tell you something right now. And this defense that Todd Bowles is running. Oh, my Lord. These brothers can ball. Tampa Bay Buccaneers going to the Super Bowl. I mean, it would be catastrophic for Bruce Arians, if they don't make it. And possibly even Brady, as you would say, if they don't make it. Because there's really no excuse. Don't worry about the helicopters. We good. Here's the reality of the situation.
They're coming for Max.
That's right. They are coming for Max. They're coming for Max. Listen, here's the deal. Last six seasons. That Antonio Brown played minimum 101 receptions, minimum 1,284 yards. This brother is nothing short of spectacular. And even though he's been out for about a year and a half, I still expect him to come back and be spectacular. Here's where I got to give Brady credit where credit is due. And if things continue to go this way, Tom Brady's going to win league MVP. Continues to go this way. Let me tell you why. These guys don't care about who gets the shine. That's leadership. Usually when you worry about having an embarrassment of riches, what happens is everybody wants theirs. New contracts coming up, new situation. Oh, come on, I got to get mine. Let me get my numbers. Let me get my shine, et cetera, et cetera. Nobody on Tampa seems to care about that. And if Antonio Brown arrives and he doesn't care about it,
It's a problem.
Oh, my Lord. If he doesn't care and he's the model citizen that Bruce Arians said he better be because he's only getting one shot, ain't going to be second chances for him. If he comes on there and he's a team player and he vibes with the culture that exists, we know it didn't exist last year. So there's only one reason it happened this year. It's because of Tom Brady. All of that's going to be taken into consideration. Tampa's going to go to the Super Bowl, and Tom Brady is going to be crowned league MVP. You can book it. If Antonio Brown shows up and he's not selfish, are they going to Super Bowl?
Oh, and the Super Bowl's in Tampa, so it gets even better.
Yeah, but we don't care unless there's a crowd.
Well, I'm just saying.
I mean, no, if you play in an empty stadium, that's not going to move
me. It's in his home stadium. All right.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Let me say this to Stephen A. You're late to the party, man. I mean, you're late to the party. I've been talking about the Buccaneers on your top five ever since I've been going on. And you keep bumping me, right? And now all of a sudden, because the AB's going to be there in a couple weeks, all of a sudden you're excited. The one thing you did say that I liked, you got to keep them humble and hungry. Antonio Brown's got to be kept that way for sure. He's not going to be the main attraction. He's the addition, right? And you mentioned all the players that Tampa Bay has. What Tampa Bay, the best move they made with Tom Brady is he is a culture changer for the NFL. He, Peyton Manning, there are very few guys who walk in a building and they change everything. They change the way coaches coach, the way the GM runs the business, you name it, they change it all, and he has brought that. The issue with Antonio Brown is making sure that all he is the addition, right? If Scotty Miller needs a spell, he goes in inside. If Evans is banged up, put him outside. That's the versatility that Antonio Brown brings you that not everybody else in the NFL can bring you. And he brings you the juice. juice, right? Like the energy he brings, it can be used for the bad or the good. Tom Brady usually does a very good job of harnessing that from players that are brought into the organization, and that's what he had done in New England when he comes in for one game. The issue will be if it becomes an off-the-field issue for him as it did in New England, which got him shipped out quickly. So when you're looking at the focus of the football team, this thing started with defense. And both of you kind of mocked me the last time when I was telling you, and after they lost twice, you know, I don't know where I'm going to put them. I'm telling you right now, this thing starts with defense. Tom Brady and that offense are slowly catching up to what that defense can do, because they can turn it over, they can score points, and they can get after the passer. All of those things make this the most dominant team in the NFC if, and here's the craziest part, that's if the offense can keep pace. Because the one thing about teams like Todd Bowles that will blitz you from all three levels is if a team can get hot, they can get 21 because it's one-on-one matchups. All of a sudden, you get a good matchup and a good day, and you're chasing. That
but
offense
why,
has to be able to
Jeff.
Pull their weight. They have absolutely done that the last couple weeks. But listen, you're late to the party. I already had them going, Stephen A. You can't. there's room on the bandwagon.
Yeah,
I'll let you
Stephen
jump
A's
on late.
But
I'll let you jump on no other because you are late to the party.
Jeff, what you just said is the difference maker, though. Stephen A is right about AB being the difference maker. You could say you may have been right all along. We'll never know, right, if AB stays the season. But Seattle and Green Bay have more dynamic quarterbacks but don't have the same defense that Tom Brady has in Tampa. But if you're talking about, if you have one-on-one coverage and so you can quickly give up three touchdowns, but you have AB. Think of what he did for Juju Smith-Schuster on Pittsburgh. And now you're talking about all those receivers, including the tight ends, on Tampa. So now you have an offense that should be at least as dynamic as Seattle or Green Bay, and you have a defense. AB is a kind of tipping
Max,
point.
Max, hold up. Now, didn't Tampa just boat race Green Bay 2 weeks ago? Embarrassed them, right? Made the bad man
game.
Look
yeah.
very pedestrian when they took two back to the house. Like, let's not throw everything
Antonio Brown.
Let's not
first
put all
game
that
back.
In that trailer.
That was Devontae Adams' first
and
game
listen,
back. Aaron Rodgers ain't going to throw two sixes on consecutive plays ever again.
What I'm telling you is Antonio Brown, you can't just put it all in the trailer of Antonio Brown. Say he is – this team was legitimate even – again,
okay.
Antonio Brown will be
an
addition.
They beat the Bears?
He will not be the main attraction.
When they went to Soldier Field and lost to the Bears, if AB were on the team, would they have lost that game?
No, because of the injuries. He's an addition. He is an addition, but with Godwin down and Evans was hobbled, he couldn't move around. It's hard to produce in that type of offense with that guy. Again, he is an addition, but with Miller and again, all those guys have begun to ratchet up their play. We knew it was going to be a sluggish start. It's hard to come around, and especially for Brady to change his mindset. Think about the touchdown he threw against Las Vegas with 20 seconds left in the first half last weekend. He couldn't have placed the ball any better. That's not a New England type shot, though, right? That is a Bruce Arians type shot that Brady is getting more and more comfortable.
Yeah.
Those deep overs to Scotty Miller, those things are all coming as the season progresses because they're more comfortable. They're getting protection, right? Their offensive line has been much better than anybody anticipated.
Of course, Jeff.
The lowest pressure rate in the league. That's not Antonio Brown. That's good coaching, and that's the way that teams get better, irrespective of bringing in an additional receiver midway through the season.
Frequency breeds comfortability. We all understand that. We comprehend that. We ain't blind. We see Brady in the pocket, standing back, calling Giselle, letting her know what time he's coming home and all of that stuff before he throws a pass. We get it. But I think the important point for you to get, Jeff Saturday, is this. It's all right for Stephen A. to show up to the party late. Because I'm always on time. In the end.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
This was a great week of football. All right, this is where Stephen A. messes up his rankings of the top five teams in the NFL. Here's what he had last week. Tennessee at 1, then Seattle, Kansas City, Baltimore, and then his Steelers at 5. So disrespectful. Stephen A.?
You know what time it is. It's time for Stephen's A-List. Let me tell y'all something right now. The list is mobile. It is my preference. And it's bad enough I got Molly whining because the Giants have never been on the list. They've never been on my list in the entire years that I've been doing Stephen's A-List.
Yeah, right.
By the way, it's bad enough Max is over there watching me like a horse with his Matrix self. Nice suit, by the way. But also, Jeff Saturday is on screen, ready to scrutinize me. So let's get right down to it. Give me number 5, the Los Angeles Rams. Here they go. Why? Did you see them? Did you see them last night against the Chicago Bears? Did you see that defense led by Aaron Donald? Did you see how they get after the quarterback? Do you see how they play in the secondary? Do you see that they're a top 10 defense across the board on top of the fact that Jared Goff looks better? Their running game looks better. And, of course, Sean McVay is doing their thing. They're a top 5 team. They are a team to watch out for, to be reckoned with. We know they are no joke because of Aaron Donald alone. And you know how he can get to a quarterback. So stay tuned. They're on my top 5 list. Let's go to number 4 of the list. Give it to me, the Steelers. Why? Because they're my team. That's why. I didn't like the fact that Big Ben Roethlisberger threw those 2 interceptions. I didn't like the fact that they got outscored 17-0, let Tennessee go on a 17-point run, almost tying the game before Gostkowski blew the field goal near time's expiration to save the Steelers from themselves. They walked away with a 27-24 victory, but they still held Derrick Henry in check for the most part. That defense cannot be ignored. And, of course, Big Ben is not a third or fourth string quarterback like they had last year. The Steelers are balling. I'm going to give them some love and leave them in the top 5. Let's go to number 3 on the list, please. Give it to me. The Ravens. Why? Because Lamar Jackson is still Lamar Jackson. That defense is still that defense filled with rough riders. John Harbaugh can't coach the game of football. We know this list might change or might remain the same based on that encounter between the Ravens and the Steelers this coming weekend. Can't wait to see that. Got to give Baltimore some love where it's due because the only team that's really knocked them off is the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's go to number 2 on the list, please. Give it to me. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Why? I know they weren't on my list last week, Jeff. I'm a little bit late to the party, but I'm Stephen A. I got a license to do that. Tom Brady is a league MVP candidate. That defense led by Todd Bowles is no joke as a defensive coordinator. Offensively, they were blessed with weapons all over the place. We've talked about them night and day, but now they're about to add Antonio Brown. But that's next week and beyond. This week, fresh over 369 yards passing. Tom Brady dropping dimes, not throwing interceptions, is reminding you of what football is supposed to be like. It's supposed to be the NFL, not another version of 30 for 30. Now let's go to number 1 on the list. It's still the Kansas City Chiefs because of Patrick Mahomes, because of Travis Kelce, because of Tyreek Hill, because of a defense that can't be ignored. We know that Patrick Mahomes is that dude. That's why we talk about Tampa Bay going to the Super Bowl, but we refuse to definitively declare that they will win the Super Bowl because somehow, some way, if Patrick Mahomes gets hot
anything could happen. But that's my top five.
What are you thinking about this week? What's on your mind this week? First of all, you had the Titans won last
week. That's right. They lost.
And they hold on.
They lost.
They barely lost because they weren't as good on special teams as your team, right? If you if you switch the kicker and punter.
Special teams is part of football.
It is no doubt part of football, but that's the margin. It was a narrow margin of victory. And based on one close loss to a top five team, you drop them off from one to none?
I'm looking at the other teams and how they look.
Okay.
What about the Packers? New flavor of the month always with him.
What about the Packers and the Seahawks, Jeff? Jeff, the Packers are coming off a win. It's a one-loss team, and the Seahawks lost by the skin of their teeth in overtime. It's their only loss
on the season. Seahawks lost to Arizona. And the Packers beat Houston. That didn't move me. That didn't tickle my fancy. I'm not moved by that, Jeff.
You got Kansas City. You have Kansas City beat Denver. You act like they beat the 85 Bears, bro.
They're reigning defending Super Bowl champions. Everybody brings something for them.
Are you serious right now? You said it didn't move you. How did that win move you from the Chiefs? To go and beat up on the Broncos?
I usually like this list. He's nuts this week.
We got no Green Bay. Listen, how about this? How about the Bucs being 1, Steelers 2, Chiefs 3, Ravens 4, Green Bay 5? How about that? You got the Rams
ahead of the Chiefs.
Above Green Bay.
I would not put the Steelers ahead of the Chiefs.
Where are the Seahawks? I don't even get it. Something happened to you. Your coffee wasn't as strong this week. Something didn't happen. It took a little longer. Again, you were late to the party. Again, you're late to this party. We'll let you come on in.
This is
but
not
you at least got to bring your A game. This is
the
like Stephen A. B list.
This is
like a B list.
B-list.
Jeff done started something.
Steven's B-list.
Somebody done told you wrong.
Jeff, where's Seattle on your list? Seattle lost by the skin of their teeth. Their only loss on the season.
Well, where is your list, period?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I'll tell
Give it to us.
Chiefs 1, Steelers 2, they're undefeated and just beat your number one team. I take Seattle 3, Green Bay 4, and the Bucs 5 right now.
Oh, of course you put the Bucs 5.
I have them in the top 5 over the Ravens. Yeah. Who else? Over the Rams.
That's good.
Over the Titans.
I know, it's just big of you.
They're
That's
a
all
two-loss
I'm saying.
Team. The Titans have one loss, also a close loss. I'll put the Bucs over the Titans. I'm not playing favorites.
Jeff, let me ask you this while we have you. The NFC West is so good. Which team do you think is the best in the division right now?
Oh, I'm gonna go with the Seahawks still. I'm still holding hope. I think they're asking a lot of Russell Wilson, which may give way for the Rams. But right now, the way Russell Wilson, again, he had an off night against Arizona, but you would still say, you know, they can put up a track meet, whether it's Lockett, Metcalf. You know, this team offensively can find ways to score. It's can their defense get enough stops to keep you in the game is gonna be the question.
Know what else they have? They have, like, the way the Rams have Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, like, elite, elite playmakers.
Yeah.
Wagner and Jamal Adams, when both on the field, are as good as it gets. So, like, you have playmakers some teams just don't have on the defense, let alone the offense.
Seattle doesn't have much of a defense. I'm not sold on them yet. And he just confessed that they rely entirely too much on Russell Wilson. But yet and still, he's going to sit up there and have them in this top five. I disagree with Jeff Saturday, but it's nothing new. I've come to the point where I'm usually disagreeing with the great Jeff Saturday. I like it.
You didn't answer the question.
I'm not scared of Jeff. I know he knows his football, but I'm not as scared of him. I'm going to sit up there. Jeff is on my radar now because Jeff tried to call out my list.
He said it was a B-list.
I did answer. Let me tell you right now. Jeff is in a world of trouble with me. I'm going to be watching everything he does.
Jeff
ain't no fear here, baby.
Watch, so we won't be late to the party.
Watch.
Ain't no fear here, Stephen A. I didn't have the Seahawks. I had Bucks, Steelers, Chiefs, Ravens, Green Bay. Seahawks weren't in my top five. They're six or seven down, but that's my top five. Don't be trying to put words in my mouth, Stephen A. I didn't have them up in there.
Jeff, I appreciate you. Thank you for bringing the A-list this week
because
Stephen A. brought his B-list.
He brought up his Zab, brought my big game. That's all right. Zab brought my big game.
So he brought the A-list for us.
Just going to pay for that. I'm going to be watching him. Okay? I'm going to be watching him. We will meet again, sir. We will meet again.
Oh, Jeff, good times.
I'm ready, baby.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Here's the season's odds on MVP. Russell Wilson leading the pack. That includes Patrick Mahomes and that bad man Aaron Rodgers. And oh, look at that. Someone at the desk had this to say about the name in the number four spot.
I was wrong. Tom Brady never fell off a cliff.
The way you said that, it's just like a child.
Well, it turns out it was a ravine, not a cliff. And
that here
he was running up the ravine.
No, don't walk it back. We just saw the tape. It was just the voice, the way you said it. It's like a parent going, walking to the neighbor's house. You have to apologize for, like, pushing the kid
I'm
down.
Apologizing to no one for nothing. Oh, I don't owe anyone
okay.
an apology.
Okay. Take a breath. Is Brady the top three MVP candidate?
Top three? No, of course not. You know, he got Antonio Brown. We can revisit the discussion when he has all the weapons in the world all season at the end of the year. But right now, no. I mean, he's quarterbacking a two-loss team. There are guys like Tannehill who are quarterbacking a one-loss team. Yeah, but Brady's performance, Brady with an embarrassment of riches, his QBR is 16th. It's like mid-pack. Tannehill's his top four. I'm talking about Ryan Tannehill now, right? Never mind Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, and Russell Wilson. So there's three right there. Before we get to the guys a little bit on the outskirts of that conversation, like Tannehill, who at this moment are still in front of Brady. No, the answer is no. At this moment, Tom Brady's not a top three.
I'm going to say he is. But I'm not just leaning, in fairness to Max, I'm not just leaning on his performance. I'm leaning on all the things, all the ancillary things going on around him, the leadership that he's showing, the culture changer that he has been, the things that are happening with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and how he's being credited with it all. You even have defensive players talking about how they feel they're playing better because of him. He's a guy that moves the chains. He's a guy that makes the right decisions. He can go for the big play, but he didn't do it on these possessions, this possession, because he saw that they needed a little bit of rest and stuff like that. You got a running game that feels effective. You got tight ends that are taken care of. You got receivers that are just going more and more and more. When the hell have we ever heard of Scott Miller? We know about him now, and now Antonio Brown is coming. And then when you see Antonio Brown's coming, you know that has everything to do with Tom Brady, because if it were up to Bruce Arians, Antonio Brown would not be there, because he had an opportunity to get Antonio Brown in the offseason. He said, we don't need him in this locker room, et cetera, et cetera. Tom Brady arrives, all of a sudden that changes. So when you look at the totality of things that are evolving around the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and we see how we look at them as a collective unit, as a team, clearly, you think about Tom Brady even before you think about Bruce Arians, even before you think about Todd Bowles. And that's where I come up with that. Not necessarily because of his on-field performance per se. It's the combination of everything.
I agree with that point. My point is I'm factoring that in to make him, like, if your QBR is 16th in the league among starters, right, like it's mid-pack, and your team has two losses, and I can point to a bunch of quarterbacks with better numbers on better teams, at least by record so far, I'm giving Brady credit, which I think he deserves, for leadership. Even his attracting Antonio Brown. Look, AB could have signed a bunch of places, including Seattle, who looked like they were in the front of the line. Brady is the magnet. He's the gravitational pull there. He deserves credit. I also agree that he's spreading the ball around and all that stuff, but guys, going into the season, even without Tom Brady, if you just put a competent quarterback with these receivers on this defense, we would expect success in Tampa. They made a move off of Jameis Winston because he handed the other team 112 points with 30 interceptions. We all knew you cut that number in half, Jameis. You got at least 9 wins on this team. So it's not a knock against Brady. I agree with the leadership stuff. That's why I think you can argue he should start to be talked about as top in that conversation.
Well, let's do it this way. You got Mahomes is throwing 16 touchdowns, just 1 interception. He's completing about 65.7% of his passes. Well, guess what? Tom Brady's completing the exact same percentage as Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
18 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. And the difference is that Tom Brady doesn't have Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy. And so we got to take that into consideration as well. These are the kind of things that people are going to look at, not to sneeze at Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich, because I think they're doing a hell of a job. But I just think that right now, when you see all that's transpiring, Tom Brady, I'm telling you right now, if the same exact thing were taking place after week 16, week 17 of the NFL season, there would be a debate right now as to whether or not Tom Brady is the league MVP. If the exact
Listen, Dan Orlowski just said he's the best quarterback in football right now, considering Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, but also, but
I mean,
Max,
QBR
you always
takes
use the,
a lot of, it's like saying PER and best. It's not a perfect stat, right? But
no,
it takes
not.
A lot of those classical stats and contextualizes them and makes it better. And by that measure, Brady is one slot above Matthew Stafford, right? Patrick Mahomes is six slots above Russell Wilson. And Mahomes and Wilson are playing for one loss teams, and Brady's playing for a two loss team. Now, it is true when he gets AB, it will be an even greater embarrassment of riches on offense. And but he's looked good throwing to his receivers. I'm not saying Brady isn't starting to approach the conversation. He's just not in it yet.
I just think you always look at the age as a negative, and you forget the fact of all the experience he has, how cerebral he's seen every defense. Well, okay, I forgot. You apologize for the question.
I never apologize.
And how seasoned he is in terms of that as an advantage over these other quarterbacks.
Just, by the way, to be clear, I've never apologized. I didn't know anything.
You admitted you were wrong. Sorry, I forgot. You admitted you were wrong.
There was a bit. Well, clearly he defied the Cliff prediction, but I didn't even just bring up age just then. Mm.
All right. The Atlanta Falcons are 1-6 for the second time in many seasons. This year, attempting a midseason overhaul by firing. You brought up age for the last 4.5 years.
That's not this conversation.
And GM and the players. Well, Falcons fan T.I. told us how he feels when he was on the show recently, saying he'd like to see quarterback Matt Ryan with a one-way ticket out as we creep towards the trade deadline. 1 week from today, Matty Ice, Julio Jones, both said recently that they don't want to leave the ATL. Max, are the Falcons the most disappointing team in the NFL?
I can't say disappointing, because the Falcons are one of those teams like the Chargers where you're like, they have this one, they have it. Well, of course, it's the Falcons. I can't say disappointing. I think the Vikings are the most disappointing team. When you look at the roster and consider the year they had last year and Kirk Cousins seemed to get the monkey off his back, it turns out he needed Stefanski as offensive coordinator, I think, more than we realized. The Vikings went from, are they on the verge? Is Kirk Cousins good enough to win a Super Bowl, or at least is he not going to hold that team back? Is he a guy you can win a Super Bowl with, even if he's not the guy who delivers you there? To a one-win team who's terrible? I think they're the most disappointing.
To me, it's Atlanta. I can understand your point about Minnesota, but with Kevin Stefanski gone and Stephon Diggs, you expected a slight drop-off at the very, very least. And not only that, I think their coach had health issues with his eye, whatever the case may be. You know, I just saying that I thought about Minnesota, and I said with Chicago and Green Bay in the same division, I just didn't expect much from Minnesota this year, particularly with Kirk Cousins quarterbacking them. In the case of the Atlanta Falcons, here's what bothers me about the Falcons. You know, with all of this stuff going on with the pandemic and everything like that, you couldn't even get through December before letting everybody in the ATL know your season was over. I mean, damn. Could you at least wait it until the holidays? They started off the season 0-5. They played against the Dallas Cowboys, and because of how they lost, literally treating an onside kick like it was a punt, looking for the football to, all right, let's see where it's going to stop or whatever. Six different dudes. They got to be one of the dumbest teams that I've ever seen. I mean, they're just stupid.
Definitely not resilient.
It was dumb.
How about Todd Gurley? This is a team where you would
he's
think
averaging 4 yards
like
a carry.
That, there'd be more awareness.
I get that. But part of it was his momentum. He tried to stop
with the
momentum. So, but those guys against Dallas on the onside kick, that was just idiocy. No, just dumb. And so I just look at them right now, and Arthur Blank, thank God he got rid of Quinn, because Quinn deserved to be gotten rid of. You just look at them and you just say to yourself, Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley. I feel so sorry for Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley, because these brothers are studs.
See, I would agree with you about Atlanta if you said they're on a list of most disappointing teams of the decade. Because when they had that offense clicking, with Shanahan, how many years ago was this now?
Three seasons ago?
It was like, oh, the NFC is going to have to deal with this offense from now on. What happened?
Yeah. Like, yeah. You would think like, they'd know how somebody would know how to emulate some of the things that he did, even though he played a role in blowing the damn Super Bowl because right. he wouldn't run it and tried to blow it and was stopping clocks and giving Brady more of an opportunity to throw the football against him, overcoming a 25-point deficit. But in the end, their defense was a problem in that Super Bowl because they couldn't hold a 25-point lead, and they've never recovered. This defense has never recovered.
There's a jinx down there. There's a jinx. I believe in sports jinxes. There's a jinx down there. Something's going on.
It's bad. Like,
the way
we'll
they invent ways to lose.
I mean, Matt Ryan and Julio Jones both said they don't want to be traded, that they want to stay.
Yeah, because they want to stay in the ATL. I don't blame them.
Honestly, do you know what I thought? I think it's the Cowboys. And I know it's due to injury, and I'm not just saying that for effect because of this show. But honestly, a lot of people thought the Cowboys are Super Bowl bound and that they were stacked on offense. And now look at this. I mean,
it's the Cowboys could certainly be in that conversation because they only have one win with that.
To be disappointing, you have to have expectations. And the Cowboys have never had any expectations. But to lose just like they're doing.